Thank you. Oh, thank you. That's awesome. I think we're good. I think so, yeah. Thank you. Give it up. Give it up for all of our people that help out with the church service. They do a great, great job. They get here very early and do all the setting up and help out in great ways. And so we need to be very grateful for them and for our worship team as well. They get here early. Yeah, you can applaud for them, clap for them. They do a great job also. So, hi, everyone. It's great to be back in Brooklyn. And if you're a guest here today, welcome to you. Special welcome to you. It's really great to have you out worshiping with us. We are a part of the New York City Church of Christ. We're a church that just believes in going by the Scriptures and following the Bible. And we also really emphasize Jesus in our lives. And that's why I'm here. That's what I wanted to share with you today, working through a series of lessons on Jesus. And today we'll look at our second lesson in this series, which is caring like Jesus cared. There it is right there, caring like Jesus cared. And so the last time we talked about living like Jesus lived and looked at some of the different things that Jesus did in his life. And today we're going to be talking about the heart of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, and the compassion of Jesus, and sort of look at the beginning of his ministry and see how he really cared for people. So if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to just look at a passage in Matthew 3 and skip on to Matthew chapter 4 and actually read a passage in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to focus in on this aspect of the life of Jesus, the way that he carried out his ministry, the way that he reached out to people, and see what we can learn here from the ministry of Jesus. I did want to mention that in the time that I was gone from New York, I was able to visit Abidjan in the Ivory Coast. Yes, it was great. It was an amazing time with the church there. And I wanted to send you greetings from the disciples in Abidjan. Whenever I go to Africa, they are always very eager to send back their greetings and also their thanks for all that the New York church has done to be able to establish churches there, to have ministry staff there, to plant other churches. And that's especially true in Abidjan, because we've had a relationship with Abidjan now for many, many, many years. And they really appreciate the special contribution that we give, because part of that does go to the work in Abidjan. But also they appreciate all the sacrifice over the years that we've made for the churches there. So I was there teaching a ministry training academy class. So I had about 30 staff people from French West Africa in class. And we studied through 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus together, which was great. We did that on Friday and Saturday. And then I preached on a Sunday to part of the church there, which was amazing. Someday I'll show you some video clips of the worship service in French West Africa. And it is quite exuberant. They dance in the aisles. Actually dance in the front of the church. Yeah, you could try that. It was so cool also because there was a baptism. And the brother, before he was baptized, he got up in front of the church, and of course he made his good confession, and then they baptized him, and then they came up, and he stood in front of the church, and he danced with the worship team, celebrating his baptism. And I thought that was the coolest thing. I'm not sure I'm brave enough to do it myself, but it was really cool to see and cool to experience the joy and the celebration of this person becoming a disciple of Jesus, having his sins forgiven. And just the exuberance on his face as he was dancing, being pure and free from sin, was an amazing, amazing sight. And so, greetings from the church in Abidjan. I also train teachers in Africa. I train teachers in East Africa, especially in Kenya, and in English West Africa, especially in Lagos and around Nigeria, and then also in French West Africa, both Central and West, French West Africa. And it's a great time, and I got to be with some of the teachers that I've been training for a couple of years now. And I really feel like in this coming year, in 2017, crazy things happened in 1917. You don't even want to know. But in 2017, I feel like we're going to be able to appoint teachers in all three of those regions in Africa. The guys are ready. And so it's just a matter of, them doing it there. And I'm very, very excited about that. So it's very, very encouraging, the work that's going on in Africa. And I wanted to encourage you from just giving a short report about what's happening there. I also want to encourage you to please give for next week for Haiti and for the relief in Haiti. A large amount of that is actually going to our brothers and sisters in Haiti, because many of them lost their homes. They were just completely destroyed. And I don't know if you've been to Haiti, maybe you have relatives in Haiti, but Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. I've been there three different times. And it's amazing the lack of infrastructure and just the poverty that you see when you're driving down the street there. And so what you give will be used in a great way, not just to help different people in Haiti, but especially to help the church there and to help our brothers and sisters there. So let's be praying for the relief effort in Haiti. Let's also be praying this week for our hearts to be soft and to be able to give for that effort next week. So we're going to be talking now about caring like Jesus cared. And I want to just encourage you by looking at mainly one passage of Scripture here, but then talking about a couple of different things along with it. You know, Francis Fenelon, I might have read this quote before. I want to start with a couple of quotes about Jesus. I love looking at Jesus. I love studying his life. I love seeing how he lived. He is an inspiration for all of us. And I especially love just getting in the Gospels and learning as much as I can about Jesus. But Francis Fenelon said, "With great curiosity, we search out the thoughts of man, and yet we neglect the thoughts of God." And then he said, "One word of the good news of the Gospel is more precious than all the other books in the world put together. It is the source of all truth." You know, do we feel that way about the Gospels? That just one word from the Gospels is greater than anything else that we could read. If we have that type of focus and concentration on Jesus and on the Gospels, it will help change our lives. And then another French writer, Blaise Pascal, said, "Jesus is the center of all, the object of all. Whoever does not know him knows nothing aright either of the world or of himself." I love that quote too. If you don't know Jesus, you don't really know anything in the proper way. Because Jesus centers us in everything that we do in life. And so we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and look at him and learn from him and study him. We're going to look now at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. The last time I was here, I talked about the early childhood of Jesus, and the few things that we do know about it are encouraging, and they teach us areas where we need to grow. Now, as we look at the early ministry of Jesus, we can see other areas where we need to grow, both as a church and as individuals that are following Jesus. When Jesus began his ministry, it happened right after his baptism. John the Baptist had been beheaded, and Jesus took that to be a signal to begin his ministry. And so he was baptized by John, then John was beheaded, and then Jesus began his ministry. But when you look at the baptism of Jesus, and this is a picture of the Jordan River here. And if you go to Israel, you can see the Jordan. It doesn't have as much water as it used to because things are evaporating there. Even the Sea of Galilee is much lower than it used to be. But when you see the Jordan River, one of the things that you realize is that this is where Jesus was baptized. And you also realize that this is where Jesus began his ministry. And you also realize that there are other people that were baptized in the Jordan as well. And so you see a little bit of the roots of who we are as a people following Jesus. After the baptism, Jesus was taken, according to Matthew chapter 4. He went into the desert area, and there he fasted for 40 days. And at the end of his fasting, he was tempted by Satan, tempted in three different ways. And you see there Jesus preparing for his ministry. He's baptized, he gets ready for his ministry. He prepares his heart, prepares his soul, gets ready for his ministry, and spends 40 days in the desert praying, then is tempted by Satan, and overcomes those temptations each time by quoting a scripture. And then after the temptation, after the fasting and the temptation, Jesus goes up to Galilee, and he was in the Judean desert, so he takes a five-day walk up into Galilee, and he begins to preach in the cities of Capernaum and Chorazim and Bethsaida. That's the triangle here on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. You see it on the map behind me. And this triangle is known as the Evangelical Triangle because it's where Jesus evangelized. It's where he spent the majority of his ministry, in and around these three towns in that little northwestern part of the Sea of Galilee. And it's interesting to think that when Jesus began his ministry, he didn't go to a great city like Athens with all of its intellectual leaders there. He didn't go to the great city of Rome with 1 million in population and with all the political leaders that were there in the city of Rome. Jesus went to basically a backwater place, just a rural place with small villages, and spent the majority of his 3 years of ministry right there. Because Jesus' ministry was really not winning the world in his lifetime. Jesus' ministry was about training other people to go out and win the world after he was gone. And so he spent his time investing his life in the life of a few followers. Then they would go out and turn the world upside down. Even by the geography of the ministry of Jesus, you see the importance of discipling. And you see the importance of training. And you see the importance of raising each other up in the Lord so that we can do our best for him. Even in the way that he picked where he was going to minister. And so he spends his time here in this little part of around the Sea of Galilee in these three small villages called the Evangelical Triangle. Now, if you look in Matthew chapter 4, toward the end of the book, I'm going to begin down here in verse 12, and I'm going to read on as Jesus begins his ministry here. And we're going to make a few points about the ministry of Jesus, caring like Jesus cared. Are you guys with me? Okay, it says in verse 12, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. So John's in prison and Jesus begins his ministry. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, small village of probably 1,000 people, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness, have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of light, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, and this is his message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Other translations translated as repent or change, because the kingdom of heaven is upon you. It's right here amongst you. And so Jesus begins with that simple message there, message change. Change your lives, change your hearts. And then it says in verse 18, as he was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. So you see there Jesus beginning to pull together his ministry team. Going off from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with the father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. You see there the caring ministry of Jesus, preaching, teaching, and healing. Talk more about that in just a minute. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So you see here the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. You see how Jesus began to reach out to people. And I want to look at a few points of the ministry of Jesus here, talk about his caring ministry, and then help us to see some ways that maybe we can change in order to be more like Jesus in the way that we care for people, in the way that we minister for people. In the picture that you have here, you have me and Irene Garganis and Pat Gimple and Terry Adame, who were visiting Capernaum many years ago. And we are there in the synagogue in Capernaum. That is the foundation of that synagogue, is the very synagogue where Jesus went to synagogue in Capernaum, where he was handed the scroll, where he read, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing," and also where he cast out the demoniac there. The demoniac was cast out in this very place. And it just shows us that these places that we're reading about, Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, places like that, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, they were real places. And you can visit them today. And you can see some of the first century ruins that were there, that were places where Jesus would have walked when he was on the earth some 2,000 years ago. So it's encouraging to me to know that when the Bible talks about these places, they're real. And you can actually visit them and see them today. So the first point I wanted to make from this passage that we just read was that the ministry of Jesus changed people's lives. It changed people. We saw the message of Jesus, which was a simple message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But that word repent is a very important word. You find it over and over again in the Gospels, and you see it in Acts and in other places in the Bible as well, like 2 Corinthians 7, places like that. Basically, the word means change. Jesus' message was a message of change. Jesus came to change people's lives. And that's really what caring should be all about. Caring should be making people's lives better. When we care for people, we're trying to help in some way to better their lives. We're trying to elevate them. We're trying to pick them up. We're trying to help them to get their lives a little bit better, even if it's for a short time, to bring a little happiness to people. I appreciate what you guys are doing in the month of December, just to try to bring joy to people, to try to help a few children feel a little joy during the Christmas season. I mean, that's fantastic. And as disciples, we should have that heart that we want to help people, whether it's for a short amount of time or a long period of time. Change their lives for a brief moment, or change their lives for eternity. We're about helping people change. And we're about helping people elevate their lives and make their lives even better. And that's what Jesus did. Wherever Jesus went, he helped people. And he met people and he reached out to people. And people came up to him and children approached him. He was always around people, helping them and trying to get them to change their lives, because that's what he was all about. And he taught his disciples to do the same thing. Go out and help other people and help them to change. Because life isn't just about the here and now. Life is about eternity. And there is a kingdom of heaven that we're going to be able to have fellowship with God forever. And so let's help people change in the here and now. Let's help people change for eternity. Let's be about helping people change. Jesus was all about helping people change. He helped people by healing their diseases and casting out demons. But he also told them to go and sin no more. Because Jesus knew that there's a spiritual sickness in everyone's life. And everyone needs to be helped spiritually. And so, yes, he helped people physically. He helped them with their disease, but he also helped them in their spiritual lives as well. The ministry of Jesus today should also be a ministry of change. The change begins in each of us. Jesus calls us to change. He calls us to be different. He calls us to be more spiritual people. How are you doing in your own life changing for Jesus? Are there things that you can see right now that you know you have grown in? Are there other areas that you want to hand over to Jesus and get him to help you to change? I encourage us to begin with our own lives. Look inside yourself. What do you need to change right now for Jesus? What do you need his power in your life to help you to change? That's who Jesus is. He wants to help you change. He wants to help you be a different person. Are you embracing him in your life so that you can change? Change begins with each of us. How are we going to change? And then how are we going to reach out to others and help them to change? You know, we need to understand that as a disciple of Jesus, first, we have never arrived and gotten to the point where we will stop changing. We always need to keep growing. And I encourage you here at the end of the year to look at your life, evaluate where you are, and see areas where you need to change for God. But then also, as disciples of Jesus, we never stop helping other people change. We continue to reach out to people to help them to change and to see that God can change lives. You know, one of the areas that, you know, Lee and I, we are normally up in the Hudson Valley and working with the ministry there in Rockland County and Orange County, New York. And one of the things that we've seen there over the past year, the past couple of years, is there's a young married ministry that's just very vibrant, a lot of baptisms, a lot of people changing their lives, and a lot of growth in this part of our ministry in the Hudson Valley. And it's been so encouraging to see people in their young and early and mid-20s, approaching 30, to see them give their lives over to God. Some of them with little children coming and their little children standing beside the baptistry as mom and dad are baptized. It's just been a really encouraging part of our ministry. And there was this one couple that was reached out to because his friend, boyhood friend, became a disciple. His name is George DeFuro. George is a great brother up in our ministry. And he reached out to an old friend growing up named Lance. Actually, Lance called him, and Lance wouldn't mind me telling the story because they've told it in our ministry. Lance has told it. George has told it. But Lance contacted George. And Lance contacted George because George is a lawyer. And Lance said, "You know, George, I need some legal help. My wife and I, we've gotten to the point where we're going to get divorced. And I need you to help me through this process." And in fact, it had gotten to the point that they'd already done everything that needed to be done except sign the papers. And Lance was just calling George sort of as a last effort to make sure that everything was okay, that legally he was taken care of, and that he was ready to sign the papers. And George said, "Well, wait a minute. Before you sign the papers, let's get together and let's talk. And I just want to see if there's anything that can be done so that these papers aren't signed." And Lance was like, "Okay, we'll get together, we'll talk." And then Lance started studying the Bible. And it was so encouraging to watch Lance study the Bible. Lance is a very serious guy. And he doesn't smile a lot, actually. He's kind of a scary guy. So he would come out to church, and he'd have Lord a bit of a scowl on his face, really serious. It's not that he was mean or anything, just a serious, serious guy. And but it was so great to watch Lance start studying and start getting softer, start smiling. And then he reached out to his still wife, and her name is Crystal. And then she started studying the Bible. And it was so encouraging to see both of them get to the point where they ripped up those divorce papers and they got baptized into Christ. And that's because of the changing ministry of Jesus. Jesus can change things. Jesus can change your life. Jesus can change your marriage. Jesus can change your parenting. Jesus can change you. Jesus can change people around you. The ministry of Jesus is a ministry of change. Lance has been a disciple for a couple of years now, maybe 3 years. And he started reaching out to people himself. So he reached out to his neighbors. And his neighbor is Dr. Zaid. And Dr. Zaid started coming out to church. Started coming out to church with his wife. And they fell in love with it. Fell in love with studying the Bible. Fell in love with learning about Jesus. And Zaid's background is a Muslim background. But he got to the point in his life that he realized that he needed something more than what Islam was offering him. Because when you really study out Islam, there's not a lot of hope there. And he said he was in the mosque one day. He's having a terrible, terrible time in his life. He actually called some of his brother Muslims together to pray with him. So they went out to mosque to do prayers together. And he prayed and he went through the ritual of praying. And then at the end of the ritual, he was just still on his knees. And he just said out loud in the mosque, he said, "Jesus, help me." And then he realized what he had said out loud in the mosque. And he was hoping no one else had heard, because he actually said it out loud. And one of the brothers next to him looked over and said, "What did you just say?" And he said, "Oh, you heard that." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I just got so much going on in my life right now. I've got to really think through things." And one of the things that he thought through was the realization that he needed Jesus in his life. That he really didn't have any hope. That he was praying and praying and praying, but in this works righteous type of religion, it was just getting him nowhere. And he turned his life over to Jesus. And Lance reached out to him. And Lance baptized him, baptized his wife. Their two little children were there. And another young family in the ministry in the Hudson Valley. Because someone reached out to Lance. Actually, Lance reached out to somebody to get help, and George helped him. And then Lance reached out to Dr. Zaid, and it just continues like that. And that's what the ministry of Jesus is. It's a caring ministry. It's a changing ministry. It changes people's lives. And we need to be a part of that caring, changing ministry that Jesus introduces us all to. Another thing about the ministry of Jesus, it's a team ministry. See, when Jesus started his ministry, he didn't do it alone. He immediately calls Peter and Andrew, calls James and John. You know, Andrew goes out and gets Philip, and Jesus pulls together a team of people. Here's the thing. We need to understand that ministry is not something that we do alone. Ministry is something that we do together, all of us together, giving our gifts and our talents and what God has gifted us with to help the whole ministry and help the whole body of Christ. Because we're all different, but we bring different strengths to the kingdom and different strengths to God's church. And so we need to understand, in giving our strengths to God, we strengthen the team. And God wants you to be a part of the team. Jesus does. And so Jesus pulled together a team of people. They weren't all alike. They were very different. Peter was very outspoken. James and John, they were known as the sons of thunder. Matthew was a tax collector. And then you have Simon the Zealot, who was probably a political radical. And so you have all these different types of people coming together to form a team that then Jesus sends out to turn the world upside down. But Jesus did not try to do it by himself. He formed a team of people because we're stronger together than we are apart. We're smarter together than we are apart. We'll do more good together than we will apart. And if anybody could have ever done the ministry alone, all by themselves, it would have been Jesus. mean, if anybody could have ever done it, just an individual solo effort, it was Jesus. But the first thing he does, immediately, he goes out and he starts recruiting, finding other people, getting them to be a part of his mission. And I want us to understand, Brooklyn region, we're a team of people. We work together to glorify God. We work together to reach more and more people in Brooklyn. We don't do it by ourselves. We don't do a solo act. Instead, we work together, bringing our strengths and our gifts together to glorify God all the more. How are you doing working together with other people? We represent so many different backgrounds, so many different walks of life in this building. There are people that you will meet that I will never meet. There are people that I will meet that you will never meet. And so, yes, we go out and we work alone, but then we bring everybody together. And they see the strength, and they see the love, and they see the support, and they see the unity, and they see the happiness of the family here. And they're drawn to that. I remember the first time I visited the New York church. Wow, it was so many years ago. Lee and I came up from North Carolina. Whoops, sorry. And it was the 4th of July weekend. Fireworks, just like that, were going off everywhere. And I remember there was a trash strike going on in New York City. And the city stunk to high heaven. It was just smelly everywhere. And there were piles and piles and piles of garbage. This is in the early 80s. But I remember going into at the time it was the Central Park Church of Christ. And I remember going into their Friday night devotional. And they were sitting in a circle. And I can remember their singing. They were singing and it sounded like angels. And I can remember everyone coming in and just hugging each other and greeting each other with such warmth and such exuberance. And I can remember them immediately after the service going off into different corners and studying the Bible with people. And I was like, what's going on over there? Oh, they're studying the Bible with different people. And there was just a buzz and there was just an excitement about it. And I thought in my own life, I thought, I want this. Everybody had their notebooks open. Everybody was taking notes. Everybody was learning from each other. There was just a zeal and an enthusiasm and an excitement that I had not seen before. And that's what we offer the world around us. As a team. As a family. As the body of Christ. And so let's all bring our gift. Bring your strength. Bring whatever God has gifted you with. Bring it to His family. Bring it to His body. Let's work together as a team to see God glorified all the more and for us to be able to reach as many people as possible in Brooklyn together. Amen? And the last thing I want to point out about the caring ministry of Jesus is that Jesus focused on three actions. Three actions. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, preacher, you got three more points. Oh, no. This sermon's going to last till the middle of the afternoon. But I promise I'll be quick, okay? I know how much time I've already spent, so I'll be quick with these last three points. The teaching, the preaching, and the healing ministry of Jesus. Jesus taught people, he preached to people, and he healed people. And the caring ministry of Jesus today needs to have all three of these aspects. The teaching ministry, that means getting deeper in the Word. And we need to take people deeper into the Word of God. And you don't know where that begins? Begins with each of us, getting deeper in the Word ourselves. How are you doing as a student of God's Word? Are you in the Word of God yourself, learning more and more and more about Jesus? Do you have something to share with other people from your own study of the Word? The preaching ministry of Jesus. You know what preaching is? You know, teaching's a little different. Teaching is when you get deeper in the Word. Preaching is simply, probably the best way to define it, sharing good news. Sharing good news. You have some good news to share? You get excited about sharing good news. It's about being a herald of the King, being the messenger of the King. You got some great news to share. And so you go out and share it. Salvation for all humanity. It's a great message. We have that message. We should share it with people. And when you have good news to share, and you realize that other people don't have that good news in their life, it's easy to share it. So we need to share good news with people. And last is the healing ministry of Jesus. Jesus healed people wherever he went. And our ministry today is a healing ministry as well. You say, well, how so, Steve? You know, I don't see the healing like Jesus did, you know, casting out demons and that sort of thing. Well, it's a healing ministry in a couple of ways. Number one, prayer is powerful. And when you pray for people, God works through prayer. So we have that healing ministry of Jesus through prayer. But also, we heal broken lives. I appreciate so much the couple sharing for communion today. You guys did an amazing job. And thanks for sharing your hearts. Thanks for sharing your lives. And one of the things I heard was I heard the brother saying, Jesus changed me over 20 years ago. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus heals our broken hearts. Jesus heals our wounded spirit. Jesus heals people. You look today at the chemical recovery ministry, that's a healing ministry. The strength and weakness ministry, that's a healing ministry. The purity ministry, that's a healing ministry. We're about healing people. We're about helping people because that's the ministry of Jesus. He taught, he preached, and he healed, and that's our ministry today. And when you put all of that together, powerful things happen. It's a little glimpse at the caring ministry of Jesus. Jesus came and he preached, he taught, and he healed people. I love the very end of that scene where the demon is cast out. The demoniac is made whole. And he looks up at his earthly father, and first he mouths the word, Father. And then he says the word, Father. And you realize Jesus just put this man's life back together. And Jesus has done that for all of us. In some way, all of us were that demoniac. And Jesus came in and he turned our lives around. And Jesus has the power to do that with anyone who's willing to turn their lives over to him. Let us embrace the caring ministry of Jesus. Let's demonstrate the love of Jesus wherever we go. Let's teach people the word. Let's preach the good news that we have. And let's offer them the healing that can only be found in Jesus. And let's do it as a team because we're all stronger together than we are apart. And God wants us working together to do the most good for him. Let's embrace this caring ministry of Jesus and demonstrate his love through our lives as we care for people around us. Amen.